agreement with the organizers and indeed Gia also, I thought it was maybe better suited for this audience to say a bit more about DGP model. So Gia discussed it in a very general terms, and so I'm intending to give a bit more detail. So I'm hoping I'm not going to repeat too much of what he says, but maybe it's a good place also to have discussion, because there is some lively discussion, as you saw. So I'm not going to come back on the motivation, which is maybe to replace dark energy or dark matter by a large distance modification of gravity. And as Gia said, to say something a bit different, being a French guy in a place called Waterloo, I thought it was appropriate to quote some French hero to counterbalance this bad event for France, maybe. And the hero I choose is Le Verrier, who, as you know, predicted the existence of Neptune looking at anomalous motion of Uranus, and so that's a success of a dark energy or dark matter approach. But also, as you also maybe know, he predicted the existence of another planet, Vulcan, that he never discovered, that was never discovered, but that was predicted looking at motion of Mercury. So, of course, when we know that it's now explained by GR. Okay, so to repeat a bit, what is DGP model? So it's a brain world model, as Gia discussed, with an induced R term on the brain, which makes all the difference. And so it leads to large distance modification of gravity, and also has the interest of maybe it's a kind of consistent nonlinear massive gravity. As Gia mentioned, I'm going to be fast on that maybe. You can figure out, looking at, for example, the scalar toy model, that in this DGP model, the interaction between two point particles goes like 1/r at small distance, so it has a 4D standard behavior, and it has a large D non-standard, 5D behavior, with a transition radius between the two behavior being given by this ratio of the 4D Planck scale and the 5D Planck scale. This is out of this very simple scalar toy model action, and you can understand this propagator as you can understand this interaction as being mediated by just a continuum of massive modes, and you have here a rewriting of this propagator in terms of Yukawa potential, and you see that depending on the distance, either the suppression is operating or not, and either you find a 4D potential at small distance or a 5D potential at large distance. So to come back to the real DGP model, the same is true for the Newtonian potential, but with a crossover radius being given by this particular scale that we saw previously. And so this enables one to get a 4D looking theory of gravity out of one which is not this, irrespectively of the curvature, say, of the bulk. As we saw here previously, the tensor structure of the graviton propagator is that of a massive graviton, and so one has this famous von Daveman-Sakharov discontinuity that also Gia introduced. And I will say a few more words about this discontinuity in the framework of a different theory, which is the Pauli-Fierce action. Pauli-Fierce action is so the second order action for massive spin 2. And so, as we saw, there is a way to see this discontinuity just looking at propagator. I will not say more than he said about this. But this leads, of course, to, if you stick at the linearized approximation to concluding that the theory of a massive graviton is ruled out by experiments. But there are other ways to look at this discontinuity, looking at Schwarzschild-type solution. And so this was done by Arkady Weinstein. And so if you just look at a linearized approximation in G Newton, you find that the discontinuity here appears in this coefficient in the radial part, which is different from GR, and so it leads to wrong light bending. But Arkady Weinstein noticed indeed that if you go to further order, you have an extra piece, which is this epsilon here, which is singular with the mass of the graviton going to zero. And so this introduces a new length scale in the problem, which is this R star, or I will call it Weinstein scale, below which the perturbation theory diverges, that is to say when this is of order one. And so for the sun, and for a graviton of Compton wavelength of order of the horizon, this Weinstein radius is much bigger than the solar system. And so Weinstein's answer, so the question arises of what's going on at small distance. And so I should stress that this calculation was done in a framework of a massive gravity theory, but non-linearly completed in a quite a weird way. So it's a kind of a theory with if you want, some extraneous flat background metric. And so Weinstein's claim that about what's going on at small distance is that there exists another perturbative expansion at smaller distance, which is this time well behaved with the mass of the graviton, and so which is by definition made around ordinary Schwarzschild. And so now this term goes smoothly toward zero when the mass of the graviton goes to zero. And so from this perspective, you can hope that there is indeed a recovery of Einstein general relativity at small distance around a body, a spherically symmetric body. However, it was pointed out also by Boulware and Desert just after Weinstein's paper that, of course, there is no warranty that this solution can be continued to infinity and in particular also matched without singularity to the other solutions, solution which is obtained by just linearized theory at large distance. And I think this is a good point, and we'll come back to this later on. Okay, so this VD-VD discontinuity is due to the scalar polarization of the graviton being coupled to the trace of the energy momentum tensor, and one can understand this Weinstein mechanism as due to this polarization having strong self-interaction. And as Gia mentioned, there is a way to see that in some effective action for the scalar polarization that was derived by Arkani, Ahmed, and Schwartz, and which has this form. And so you see that you have here this scalar polarization of the graviton, phi, which has cubic interactions with some scale, which is a composite scale out of the mass of the graviton and the Planck scale. And so around, sorry. I forgot, Georgia, yeah. Well, yeah, there were several papers, I guess. So maybe it's in the paper with Georgia, but I think there is also a paper with Schwartz alone. Okay, so this self, this cubic interaction is responsible for the appearance of this Weinstein radius, for example, around the body of mass M. Okay, besides this VD-VD problem, this type of theory that was considered by Weinstein has also other pathologies, as discussed by Boulware and Desert indeed also, which is that if you take it as a non-linear theory and compute what are the propagating degree of freedom a la ADM, you discover that it's propagating instead of 5 degrees of freedom that you expect for a massive graviton, it's propagating indeed 6 degrees of freedom, with unbounded from below Hamiltonian. Okay, so this particular property can be indeed related to the strong coupling problem as I discussed in a paper of with one of Massimo's Porati students as follows. If you just very simply look at this action for the scalar polarization, you see that it leads to order 4 equation of motion. So it's a higher derivative theory of a scalar field. And so as is well known, as this can be described by introducing an extra scalar field that will encode for the extra Cauchy data that you have to provide on some initial surface, say. And this extra scalar field will be ghost-like. And so in this language, you understand, and it will have a potential here, a weird potential, that encodes the cubic self-interaction of the original guy. And so from this perspective, you understand the Weinstein mechanism as due to the cancellation at small distance by the ghost of the attraction exerted by the scalar polarization of graviton, while the ghost freezes out at large distances due to this potential here. And one can argue also further that this ghost is the extra 6 degree of freedom that was discussed by Boulware and Desert. Okay, so that's all I wanted to say for Pauli-Fierce theory. Let me now come back to DGP model and discuss a bit of this issue in DGP and as well as cosmology that can shed light on these various questions. So DGP, one can solve exactly for the cosmology of DGP gravity, and it's pretty easy. You just have to solve 5D Einstein equation with a brain localized source that is to say this effective energy momentum tensor that contains the energy momentum tensor of the brain localized matter, but also a piece coming from the localized R term on the brain. So in other words, this is obviously the 4D, if you let this vanish, you get the ordinary 4D Einstein equation. And so if you think at standard brain cosmology, of you just take a domain wall, say, in an empty 5D bulk Minkowski spacetime, you know that for a domain wall, H square goes as rho square. Right, this was discussed, I think, a long time ago for the first time by Alex Vilenkin. And in DGP, the only difference is that this rho is some kind of effective rho that contains rho, the rho of matter, minus h squared. And this is now squared. And so this is just the ordinary Friedmann equation. And so it explains the form of the Friedmann equation you get in the model, which contains square roots, basically. This was also given by Bia. And so you notice that you have two branches. This epsilon here is plus or minus one. And this, I will come back to this later on. So here are the Friedmann equation for this DGP model, very simple model. The induced metric on the brain is exactly Friedmann, Lemaître, Robertson, Walker. And the first thing one notices is that this Friedmann equation are exactly analogous to standard Friedmann equation for small Hubble radius. That is to say, for Hubble radius which are smaller than RC, the transition between 5D and 4D gravity. And also, you notice that the Planck scale which arises here is not renormalized, as you could have expected, maybe from what I said about VDVZ discontinuity. Now, if you look at late time, before looking at late time, let me comment about this global structure of the spacetime and the relationship to the epsilon factor. You can show that the whole spacetime looks like is depicted here. You have so this is supposed to be a 5D bulk spacetime, and the brain is just a surface of some cone shape here. And you see that this surface is emanating out of a point in 5D Minkowski that is indeed a Big Bang, the Big Bang of the brain-induced metric. And the Big Bang also extends along this line, which is a null line of this light cone, of the light cone of this point. And so now you have the choice of keeping the exterior of this surface or the interior of this surface, and gluing it to a copy of itself along the brain. And so depending on this choice you make, you either have epsilon equal plus or minus one. And this generalizes the well-known global structure of Ipser, CKV, Vilenkin domain wall. And I think it's also answering Gary Horowitz's question, is that in this case, you see that the extrinsic curvature of the brain indeed jumps across the brain. So this is an exact solution of Einstein equation. And the extrinsic curvature jumps with this energy density, this effective energy density rho minus h squared. And so from this point of view also, you understand that in the case where you keep the exterior, the effective energy density of the brain as seen by 5D gravity is negative indeed, because you have kept the exterior while it's positive in the other case. Okay, so let's look at late time cosmology. So depending on this sign of epsilon, you have two asymptotic different behavior. Either you go, and so you have generically late time deviation from standard cosmology. Either you go to brain cosmology in 5D, which is a solution of just 5D GR with no R term on the brain. So that's what you would have obtained for a brain in an empty Minkowski bulk with no induced R term. Or you go to this other solution, which is the sitter, in which you get accelerating universe, even if you have zero tension on the brain. And so that was the proposal of the paper, our papers with Gia and Grigory Yapkavadadze, to use this branch to produce a late time acceleration by doing large distance modification of gravity. Okay, so. We heard some mention of this model in previous talks, so I thought it would be maybe nice to show a little bit of phenomenology of this cosmology. So one can rewrite this this Friedmann equation in the following way by introducing just an extra parameter omega RC, which is the inverse of RC square H naught square. And so you see that this omega RC in this modified Friedmann equation acts as a cosmological constant if epsilon is equal to plus one, so if you're in the self-accelerating branch again. And the phase diagram of this cosmology is different from in the omega RC omega M plane, which plays the same role as the omega lambda omega M plane for standard cosmology. So this cosmology, the phase diagram is a bit different. You see the flat space-time along this line. You have a similar thing as in standard cosmology with this separation between no Big Bang and Big Bang. And so people have been kind enough, as we know, to feed the data with this cosmology and find that it generally leads to a lower omega matter if you take this self-accelerating branch than what you would get for standard cosmology. And So going back to the von Dannemann-Sakharov discontinuity, I think cosmology is also interesting. And indeed, if you look at the non-self-accelerating branch, you have exact solutions which are interpolating between behavior which are solution of 4D GR. So this is a theory which has obviously the tensor structure of a massless graviton, and solutions which are solution to 5D GR. And this is a theory which has a tensor structure of a massive graviton. So this comes in support, say, of a Weinstein mechanism at work in DGP, that is to say, a non-perturbative recovery of massless solution in DGP. And recently, indeed, there was another solution found by Kalloper for localized relativistic source, showing, again, the same recovery. So I think this is also interesting because the exact solutions are not that much in this model. So as was mentioned also, there are a lot of perturbative study of Schwarzschild-type solution of DGP. And so here the picture is that if you look at the potential, again, you have a transition radius between 5D behavior and 4D behavior, while the tensor structure is a 5D up to this modified Weinstein radius for DGP model. And so this can be related to the strong self-interaction of the brain bending sector in the same way as the Weinstein radius was related to the strong self-interaction of the scalar polarization of graviton of the Pauli-Fierce theory. And you can argue, indeed, there is a nice analysis of that, that looking at Hamiltonian constraints, this is just derived from Hamiltonian constraint where you have used an Israel junction condition to replace R by K minus T. You can derive this equation, which is an exact equation, and figure out that the place where Weinstein radius comes in is when these terms, the non-linearities coming from these terms become important. This can be also seen in terms of some scalar field, and in the same spirit as I mentioned wrongly, forgetting Georgi for massive gravity. So you have this equation of motion for this guy here, and you can see that this generates this correction to Schwarzschild metric found by Weinstein, reinterpreted in the framework of DGP. However, here notice that the equation of motion here are not fourth order, they are second order, and so from the naive analysis I presented previously, you can expect from this perspective that there is no ghost a la Bouloir desert indeed. people have also looked at a perturbative study of Schwarzschild-type solution in the framework of cosmology, and this was done by Lou and Starkman in particular, where they found that this Weinstein radius was slightly modified. And as a result, they were able to compute the correction to Schwarzschild in the two different phases. So you see a rising of epsilon here, and that's an interesting remark. So notice first that the form of this correction is analogous to the one of massive gravity with a different power, but also notice so that you have a dependence on the phase. So depending on the, if you are sitting on a self-accelerating phase or on the non-self-accelerating phase, you find a different dependence here. And as a result, there is a universal correction to GR, perihelion precession, that has this form, and that one can hope to, as Gia mentioned, to discover in the close future. And they also looked at large-scale structure, and indeed found out that the large-scale structure were growing slower than in standard GR in this model, yielding a low sigma 8. And here, I think there is some also tension with data in addition to the one we already heard about. Okay. So there is interesting phenomenology associated with this Weinstein mechanism and the cosmology of DGP. And so, so far, I presented, I think, convincing arguments to show that it seems to work there, but one can still be maybe cautious about that. And here are some maybe counter or maybe some hints of things to be better understood in DGP as far as the VDVZ discontinuity and Weinstein mechanism is concerned. Notice that the cosmological solution play a tricky role for the VDVZ discontinuity because we know that there is no VDVZ discontinuity on maximally symmetric spacetimes. Well, there is some unitarity issue on De Sitter, but I will not comment on that. And so some people have expressed in the literature ideas that the recovery of the standard solution of GR are linked to this issue. I'm not sure I'm completely understanding the argument, but I'm just mentioning it here. And notice also there are known solutions of bigravity theory that are theory where if you consider an appropriate subclass of it, you have indeed massless graviton and massive graviton. And in this bigravity theory, you have solutions which are exactly those of 4D GR. And this is a talk I was intending to give, but that I didn't give, so I am just advertising this paper of mine with Diego Blas and Jaume Garriga, where we study some properties of these solutions. And last, maybe concern, is that all the results as far as Schwarzschild solutions are concerned are obtained perturbatively. And so one knows that in massive gravity, that one might have to be cautious about this, because it was shown by Damour and Kogan and Papazoglou, indeed, that apparently the Weinstein mechanism does not work for massive gravity. That is to say, nonlinear completion of Pauli fixed action with some, that you can think as some bigravity theory where one of the two metrics is fixed and being Minkowski. And so they try to integrate outwards, starting from Schwarzschild solution and also inwards, and find that generically you have a rising of naked singularity. So in DGP, I think there are good arguments to think that it does not happen. But since we don't know the exact solution, it might be good to investigate this issue more. And also, there is this paper of Gregory Gabadaze and Alberto Iglesias that Gia mentioned also, that is claiming to have an exact solution for DGP, at least on the brain. And surprisingly, if you look at the detail of the solution, it does not really match exactly the perturbative solution. So it might be that this solution is not correct and cannot be extended to the bulk, for example, but it might also be that there is something more to understand there. So I think I'm almost out of time, but I wanted to mention also there have already been some debate on that, the dark side of DGP, say. The first thing is that one needs, one has obviously a very low quantum gravity scale in the bulk, and so one would wish to have some underlying quantum gravity construction of this model, like a string theory or something like that, which, as far as I know, has not been achieved yet. There are also issues on the exact meaning of this strong coupling scale that was mentioned also by Gia. And there is, last but not least, this issue about the ghost in the self-accelerating phase. So I think Massimo had a first paper showing that there is a ghost in the self-accelerating phase. And then Koyama put a paper on the web which was in contradiction with his first claim. and apparently changed his mind because he put a new version of his paper 10 days ago, which is more in agreement with the previous one, although it's not in this published version, as far as I know, he's not concluding definitively on that. And as we heard also at the end of the talk, I think there is various debate going on this issue, so it might be good to debate furthermore. So that's all for the dark side of DGP, and you have recognized maybe who is the dark side of DGP. Okay, and so let me turn to my conclusions. I think DGP gravity is interesting because it modifies gravity at large distance. It has it has a well-defined action principle, which is general covariance. And as far as cosmology is concerned, it accelerates the universe with no cosmological constant and the same number of parameters as lambda CDM. And it can be distinguished from lambda CDM by cosmological observations. So that's, I would say, that's the four criteria that one would wish to have for a modified gravity that does the job of replacing lambda by something else. So that's, and I don't think there is much on the market with these four criteria, unfortunately. It has an extra piece, which one might argue that is generic, and which are indeed related to this Weinstein mechanism, so that one has also modification of gravity at distances much smaller than cosmological, as Gia pointed out. But it has a dark side, and so then it might be a question of taste of letting this dark side be clarified by some modification of DGP, say. So it remains, I think, an interesting playground to investigate massive gravity and a candidate for a consistent theory of massive gravity, and as well as a playground to investigate the phenomenology of large distance modification of gravity. And indeed, as far as the Weinstein mechanism is concerned, I think that cosmological solutions and other arguments are in agreement with Weinstein recovery of solutions, but there are some issues here related to the way it works in detail. And so I think it might be interesting to investigate more these issues. Thank you very much.
Questions?
I just have a comment about this last part. So basically, this is not concerning this model, but in general, I think that whenever we had this discussion actually during the break, I think whenever the story is that you have a theory which on a solution which is seemingly way below of your cutoff of the theory has different branches, and some of those are have perturbations which are unstable, like ghost type or whatever. That may simply signal that you are working, that your theory has a hidden cutoff, the second one. And basically, it's not that you are working really at that cutoff, and sort of that's why you're dramatically affecting this structure of the whatever, causality or whatever you want to call it. And so this may simply signal that you have to raise some theory there at that cutoff. The point is that if you find that there is ghost on one branch and nothing on the other, it doesn't mean that the other branch is also, you can just forget one and work with the other. It may signal that simply what you are doing is you're working very close to your cutoff. So, okay.
Since we are talking about comments more than questions here, the question boils down to whether this cutoff, under which you can work in one branch or in another, is H, or it's something lower. Right? Because if your theory has many cutoffs, it has a cutoff at M5, at the five-dimensional Planck scale. It also has a cutoff at this Weinstein scale, where you have to resum your theory, and also you have to argue that loops can be resummed consistently. And then there could be a third cutoff which is even lower, that is just the cosmological horizon. If you have two branches, but they are separated by lambda Weinstein or M5, then it's okay to work in one branch and forget about the other. We had a debate. I think that's an interesting thing because, there are good things and bad things about these two approaches. In one case, you can work perturbatively in one branch, even if it's not the one that explains self-acceleration. In the other approach, you may experience self-acceleration, but you will have to redefine the theory, essentially, because you have to find a completion at any scales below the horizon scale. And that's a pretty big redefinition.
Does this model remove the coincidence problem? Namely, why does the universe accelerate now and not at a redshift of 2 or 3?
No, it doesn't at all. You have to put it by hand.
It doesn't.
Sorry?
Yes or no?
No, the answer is no. Just you put it by hand, RC in the action, and that's all, right? So.
Okay, if there are no further questions, I suggest we thank Cedric again. Thank you.